This is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by West Virginia University, offering education, healthcare, and the opportunity to achieve career success since 1867. Information at go.wvu.edu/forward.
Welcome to the Legislature Today. I'm Curtis Tate. In the House of Delegates today, several Senate bills on third reading were sent to the governor's desk for his signature. Bills were completed on adult education, safeguarding healthcare workers' personal information, and leadership and structural changes in West Virginia Public Broadcasting's parent organization, the Educational Broadcasting Authority. Randy Yowie has more.
Offering better educational opportunities to adults is key to Senate Bill 146, creating an adult education task force. Empowered to fund and enhance already established adult learning centers around the state, the bill passed with a 94-2 vote. For West Virginia hunters and anglers, Senate Bill 148 establishes an auto-renewal program for wildlife licenses. That bill passed 96-0. Senate Bill 477 updates state code on prohibiting public disclosure of personal information on the Internet, specifically for healthcare workers and first responding healthcare workers. Delegate Adam Berghammer, a Republican from Lewis County, supports a bill he says is protective and proactive.
There has to be threats, there has to be crimes committed, there has to be an issue prior to being able to have your information removed. And I think that's what we're looking at here, is the opportunity and the ability for our healthcare workers on the front lines out here to proactively go and request that their personal information, their mailing addresses, where people could show up at their homes, which is a real threat that individuals in my community have called and asked for.
Senate Bill 477 passed 93-2. Also on third reading, Senate Bill 844 redesigns the Educational Broadcasting Authority as an Educational Broadcasting Commission. West Virginia Public Broadcasting is operated by the EBA. The bill highlights duties of the newly created Cabinet Secretary of the Department of Arts, Culture, and History. It changes a now governing body, the Educational Broadcasting Authority, to the Educational Broadcasting Commission, and gives it only duties to act as an advisor and consultant. Delegate Larry Rowe, a Democrat from Kanawha County, opposed a bill he feared would eliminate a policy-making board and possibly turn news reporting into propaganda.
All it takes is a phone call from the governor's office to the secretary to have everything changed, to pull news subjects that aren't pleasant in the governor's office. And you say, this governor? No, I'm talking about, we're setting up a structure where literally one phone call can completely change an agency. And that's not something that we want. And certainly whenever it's news, and I hate to use the term, but it creates an opportunity for propaganda rather than news, for slanting of information about economic development or any sort of possibilities in the programming of public broadcasting.
No one in the supermajority spoke for the bill that passed 79-12 and goes to the governor's desk. For the Legislature Today, I'm Randy Yowie.
A bill with bipartisan support to criminalize artificial intelligence, child pornography, now has an unexpected insert, resurrecting a bill regarding libraries and obscene materials. Randy Yowie again has more.
The child porn bill, Senate Bill 741, concerns any AI-generated pornographic material that convincingly appears to be a minor. It passed the Senate 34-0. Tuesday night, the House Judiciary Committee voted to amend the bill, inserting House Bill 4654 that strikes an exemption for libraries and museums for displaying obscene materials to minors. That bill had been languishing in the Senate Judiciary Committee. The two Democrats on the committee worked to strip the library bill from the AI child porn bill. Delegate Joey Garcia, a Democrat from Marion County, says the amendment insert was not germane or relevant to the well-liked legislation protecting minors.
There's a lot of gamesmanship, a lot of these things that go on to try to get bills that aren't running in the Senate into another bill. But here's the thing, it wasn't germane. And that means it wasn't related to that bill. And we're going to have a fight on the floor if we get to that point.
House Judiciary Committee member J.B. Akers, a Republican from Kanawha County, agreed with the majority that both bills deal with protecting children from obscenity.
Well, it deals with the same articles of code. So the bill, what we had in front of us was an obscenity or a child pornography bill, section 61 or 2, I apologize. The library bill that we talked about before, that's what we kind of call it colloquially, same article of code. So I think it's germane to that bill.
Akers also said he agrees with the Republican thought that the library bill is not a book ban bill.
But if you were in that committee meeting that we had, some of the materials that were verified as being on the shelves in children's sections were pretty shocking. Like, you would not be able to display those on camera, some of those book excerpts. They would violate FCC standards for obscenity. So all we said was, and this is absolutely not a book ban bill, the library could have an entire section of this material in their library. All we said was, you probably shouldn't have it in the children's section. So nothing's being banned, we're just saying it shouldn't be in the children's section. Because if you can't show it on television, or if you can't put it in the front page of the newspaper, it probably shouldn't be shown to kids.
Garcia and House Democrats say they will fight against an insert amendment that is already having consequences.
Right now, we're already hearing from librarians across the state that there has been a chilling effect, and the law hasn't even passed. So that's my issue with it. If it's a good piece of legislation, then prove it over there, and they can get a bill passed.
The hybrid bill now goes to the House floor. For the legislature today, I'm Randy Yowie.
The Senate processed many House bills today with zero debate and unanimous or near unanimous votes. Today was also Suicide Prevention Day at the Capitol. Brianna Heaney has more.
The Senate passed bills on things like timber management, exempting certain trusts from income tax, and creating the Southern Coalfield Resiliency and Revitalization Program. One standout bill to the near unanimous voting record today was a piece of legislation that would roll back regulations on wineries and breweries. It would also loosen regulations around festivals where wine and beer are served. The bill had no debate, but had 10 no votes in the GOP supermajority Senate. Legislators who opposed the bill said they did so because they don't want to add to the proliferation of alcohol in the state. Today was Suicide Prevention Day at the Capitol. Senator Ryan Weld, a Republican from Brook County, said suicide is the second leading cause of death in the state for young people.
375. That is how many West Virginians we lost in 1 year to suicide. That means that across the state, there are 375 tables at Thanksgiving that have a seat that is empty.
He said the suicide crisis is in part due to accessibility to mental health care in the state.
87% of our communities across West Virginia don't have enough mental health providers to serve their residents, 87%. And 90% of those who tragically take their life through suicide have a mental illness that is treatable, that is diagnosable, and that mental health treatment could help save their life. So 87% of our citizens don't have access, and 90% of all suicides could be prevented potentially. So what does that leave for us to do as a state, for those of us who are sitting in here as members of the legislature? It's to improve access to mental health resources, improve the availability for people to be able to get help when they need it.
He said that it's also the responsibility of communities within the state to destigmatize mental health. On a separate but related note, the Senate is planning to consider a possible constitutional amendment this evening that would prohibit medically assisted suicide in the state. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
The Senate Health Committee met in front of a room full of physicians to discuss House Bill 5105, a bill to eliminate vaccine requirements for virtual public schools. The committee passed the bill to the full Senate floor after amending it to remove religious exemptions for public school students, but not for private and parochial school students. When the session began back in January, our government reporter Randy Yowie was assigned to cover the House of Delegates, and Southern West Virginia reporter Brianna Heaney, the Senate. With the budget bill still to be finalized, Randy and Brianna offer some of their insights into the bill proposals, passed and failed, that affect the lives, wallets, and communities of West Virginians.
So, as you just heard, me and Randy have spent almost the past 60 days, me in the Senate, you in the House, covering those two prospective chambers, and now we're coming together, just like the House and Senate are coming together, to talk about, work through some of these bills.
And we still have a couple of intense days to go, but there's, you know, been a lot. Now things are bouncing back and forth from the House to the Senate, trying to see if amendments are going to be taken care of and so on and so forth. But there's still a lot of lightning rod bills going on.
There is. And with that, there's even some tension between the two bodies. I mean, a couple of days ago, a simple House bill that would put changing rooms in men's bathrooms and rest areas in the state was shot down. And really the pure reason was retaliating against the House for not bringing certain bills out of the Senate's judiciary onto the floor.
Holding bills hostage. I learned about that last year. And when somebody comes out and says, you're sending us a poopy diaper bill and we're sending you tremendous bills back and forth, I mean, that gets away from what they're supposed to be doing, is deciding legislation that helps and has something to do with West Virginians.
It does. I guess their counter argument is that, you know, it's a game of politics, and to get some of the important things that they feel like done, they may have to hold on that poopy diaper bill.
Well, when you have a supermajority and a vocal minority, you're going to get a conflict. But let's get to a couple of the bills. Mm. I think we're going to start with Women's Bill of Rights, because it's back on the agenda. And this is one that's bounced back and forth, no doubt about it. We're trying to define in code the definitions of man and woman. And then this kind of boils down to who can or cannot go into a women's bathroom or a girl's bathroom or a women's locker room in schools.
Yeah, the House and the Senate have both had their version of these bills. The Senate bill, there was even the smallest change. There was a lot of conflict around. I mean, in Judiciary, Senator Trump amended the bill to be more, to be worded in a way and to have wording that basically just says this refer to federal law, because that is, you know, the Supremacy Clause and everything like that. Where you did have more far-right-leaning Republicans say they didn't even want that in there because they didn't want really any reference to federal law in that bill. And then, of course, you had the House bill side, where there was a slew of amendments thrown at that.
I mean, but Delegate Kayla Young wrote a whole new bill, an extensive bill that she said really put forward what women's bills of rights were, making sure that personal hygiene products got to female inmates, just down the line with a number of things that was rejected along party lines. The problem is there's still not a lot of definition. We hear from Democrats, this bill is incomplete. One thing that this bill and a lot of other bills don't do is have final definitions on what's going to happen in this case. If it's a girls' basketball team and it's halftime, can the male coach go in and talk to his team at halftime into that locker room? I mean, are they not when they're taking a shower, of course, but some of the logic goes out the door.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the things that they do define in those bills. They set definitions on male and female based on a person's sex instead of their gender, which is a bit of a change in state law. And the sex is reliant on the ability to basically produce either sperm or ova or female eggs. So it seems to me that a lot of what they're doing too is setting the framework for future bills that would have policy or even criminal code.
We see that in a number of cases as well. One rudimentary bill right now talks about unemployment. I mean, they argued that 3.5 hours the other day in a committee. And especially what it does is lower some of the unemployment monies that people are going to get for a certain amount of weeks, but it's done over time. Mostly it's going to help out the employers, and it's going to equal out to make sure that the fund is still going to be solvent down the road. opponents of the bill say, I mean, come on, with Cleveland Cliffs and the Allegheny Woods, we just saw, what, 1,500 jobs or so leave there, and now is not the time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That bill is a Senate bill, and it was kind of introduced right before crossover day. There's a lot of different ways that opponents talk about the bill. Another major way that I didn't hear you say is a lot of people are saying the fund is healthy, and it's the fund could sustain a extreme level crisis, like a pandemic level 2020 crisis, for 2 years, which didn't happen during the pandemic. I mean, a lot of economists are having trouble finding a time in West Virginian history where that level, 2 years at 10%, has ever even happened. So a lot of opponents that are saying, we need to do this because in case something bad happened, well, this would truly be something completely unprecedented would have to happen for us to, for the fund to be in trouble.
And like this, the unemployment bill, like others, has little caveats in it that everybody can agree on. At this point in time, there's a rule that says it's a 1 or 2 week period, you have to, if you're on unemployment, you have to be going out and looking for a job a certain amount of days, 3-4 days, I forget the exact amount. And as I interviewed Scott Atkins, the head of Workforce West Virginia, not too long ago, and he said, people weren't doing it. They were only going 1 day a week or something like that. That's kind of not fair, is it? I mean, if you're going to get that unemployment and you know what the rules are beforehand, you should go out and look for those jobs according to what the rules are to get your money in. And that wasn't happening. There in this bill, it says you've got to go out 4 or 5 times or you're not going to have, this situation. That's not something that somebody's arguing about, but maybe it's important to get people off unemployment and back to work.
Well, yeah, I think that it's not necessarily the amount of days that they're looking, but I've heard, and this was just briefly brought up when the bill was introduced, is that I think it's taking the job search. You currently have to apply to, I think, 1 or 2 jobs per week. And I think, yes, this doubles it to 3 or 4 jobs.
I knew it was
per week.
The numbers in there somewhere, yeah. But the basic context of it was to do a little bit of work to be able to get money when you're out of work.
Yes. Yeah. And I haven't seen a lot of conflict around that. I think the majority of the conflict around, and at first, too, it's good to note that your first few weeks of benefits, your first about 6 weeks of benefits, you'll actually get more money than you originally get right now. But all in all, if you were to stay on it for the total duration now versus under this new bill, you would miss out on, I think it was about $3,000 or $4,000 in benefits that you would lose if you stayed on it in the full duration and if you were a maximum earner.
One thing that we're seeing when we're seeing a lot of these amendments coming in and going right now at the speed of light is the bill that we meet in the morning before we go out and have a morning meeting and try to figure out what we're going to do. And we try to have some sort of coordination.
And this morning you told me about a bill by the time I had gone to ask the question, it had already changed.
We're looking at a bill to increase penalties for indecent exposure. And there was one line that was crossed out that there had been an exception for breastfeeding before that wouldn't be indecent exposure. This morning, and the latest information put out by the legislative offices, that was stricken. But no, at one point in time, it was put back in, so the exemption was still there. We didn't know one way or the other. I was talking to some delegates, and they're going, wait a minute, isn't that changed? And I had a couple delegates look it up for me and tell me that at the last minute that had changed. So we're seeing that in a lot of bills.
Yeah, and we're also in this kind of interesting holding pattern over in the Senate where we're seeing a lot of smaller, less controversial bills, just kind of, they're going through them just as the Senate does, kind of like just orderly goes through their bills. But at the same time, just like we're all kind of like freezing, like what's going to happen with amendments, we're like, what's going to come onto the floor? Because there's a backup of very controversial House bills that have yet to make their way onto the Senate floor.
I mean, and in the House, there's like 2 or 3 pages long right here. Look at how long that bad boy is of all these bills that they're going to be dealing with the next 2 days. They're going to be going day and night. There's no doubt about it. Intelligent design is ping pong back and forth as well. And what it really means, it's a 2-sentence bill.
Yeah.
It basically just says that that public school teachers, not private school teachers now, but public school teachers and administrators and principals, but basically teachers, are allowed to teach scientific theories in their classes. It doesn't say a word about intelligent design or creationism, but that's where the rub comes in, because everybody, or not everybody, but one side or the other thinks that this is going to blossom into something with it, which becomes science versus theology.
Well, yeah, pretty much all the discussion around the bill, except for the bill itself, has mentioned the word intelligent design in at least every other sentence.
Yes.
And I think we should define also what intelligent design is really quick.
Yes, you and I were talking about this yesterday, and I really wasn't sure about the differentiation between intelligent design and creationism.
Well, creationism is really just like a spoke of intelligent design. Intelligent design is not creationism, but creationism is intelligent design. So intelligent design, it really is kind of the concept that Earth, life, you know, leaves were created by a intelligent being. Okay, it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a dog, it could be a cat, but that it was created by some kind of intelligent being, and that's, it was designed. And that, did it just kind of evolve, you know, like by one DNA, you know, stricture here and now to what we are?
Creationism has the concept of God.
Creationism has the concept, yes, of God and more along like Adam and Eve and Noah's Ark and everything like that, but this would allow intelligent design. It's not clear, but it seems like it would allow creationism to be taught in public schools. And the way that the bill sponsor, Amy Grady, defined this was, she was saying, you know, we have a lot of children asking their teachers, well, this doesn't make sense about evolution, and this doesn't make sense about evolution, and kind of asking questions about evolution. And maybe teachers who believed in their heart that intelligent design was true felt like they couldn't answer those questions because they were scared that they may violate the establishment clause, and that this law would open the door for them to say, okay, well, here's another theory, i.e. intelligent design or creationism, or really any other theory as to how the world became what it is now. There's many, many, many theories out there.
We had the same problem last year with a chilling effect on teachers when we were talking about critical race theory and whether you could talk, how or whether you could talk about slavery and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Here again, we've got, you know, a worry about chilling effect on teachers. Can I talk about this? Can I not talk about this? If a kid asks me, how did life begin? How do I answer? Will I get in trouble? I mean, counsel yesterday said it's a shaky ground.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what the sponsors and supporters of this bill say that it seeks to address. On the flip side, there are advocates, there's legislative opposition, and there are law firms that are looking at this bill and saying, are suspecting that maybe this bill is to toss a establishment clause case at the Supreme Court. I mean, we're talking about a national Supreme Court that has rolled back a lot of precedents. I mean, the most obvious one being Roe versus Wade a couple years ago. But this is a Supreme Court that is kind of rolling back precedents. So I think some states, including West Virginia, are trying to toss some of these issues at the Supreme Court to see what maybe a new precedent could be on things like the establishment
clause.
And
we go from these big picture items to a small picture item, like prohibiting smoking in vehicles when the minor 16 or under is present.
Yes.
Interesting debate on that bill.
Yes.
We're hearing from some delegates that I can't stand smoke. I don't like it on me. I don't smoke. I don't like secondhand smoke. Yet I think it's okay for a parent to be able to do this because they have parental freedom.
Absolutely. That is the opposition's argument to this piece of legislation, which, again, to note, we're talking about, you know, in the Senate, there's only 3 Democrats, and yet this bill passed with 9 no votes. And the 9 no votes said, we don't want this because it's a parent's right to smoke in their car with their child. Although I do think it's important to note that the voting records of those same legislators, almost all of those same legislators, haven't stayed consistent on parents' rights to dictate what happens with their children. For example, We're talking about trans care last year. You know, that was a right taken away from parents, doctors, and their children.
I mean, we're talking about the Parents' Bill of Rights, and we only have a little time left, but consistency again. We don't see all the way through that, okay, parents can have rights here, but not rights there. They can be able to do things, yeah. Not do things. And that's been the debate, and I think for the next couple of days, we're going to see some of that really hash out.
Yeah.
So we got our work cut out for us.
We really do. And stay tuned in because it is a fast-changing landscape.
That's what Delegate Chris of Finance said. We'll get it all fixed up, but stay tuned.
That's exactly what he said.
So that's what you need to do as well. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for spending this time with us. Catch the Legislature Today Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. And this Saturday, we will broadcast the final hours of the Legislature live as well. And remember, West Virginia Public Broadcasting covers the session daily in our radio news program, West Virginia Morning, and on our news site at wvpublic.org. We also broadcast the daily floor sessions of both the House and the Senate on the West Virginia Channel. I'm Curtis Tate. For everyone here at WVPB, thanks for joining us and have a great evening.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by West Virginia University, offering education, healthcare, and the opportunity to achieve career success since 1867. Information at go.wvu.edu/forward.